Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, praise God. How many of you know that there's another line that goes with that? And pass the ammunition. Praise God. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Wow, we're in a battle. Right? But this is your place of rest. This is your place of restoration. This is your place of a love that is beyond your wildest imagination. You know, Zephaniah 3 tells us that he rejoices over us with love. He and that word rejoice means to dance over you. The Lord himself is dancing over you. Think about that. He dances over you with rejoicing, spins and twirls. That ought to get you excited. Well, I love how God puts it together. I really do. That we've heard so much this morning from the Lord, and so much confirmation about the message that I will start about it being well with your soul. Well, the question is it?
Yes.
Well, that will be challenged.
It
really will. When we are born again, the Lord shows us that he loves us so much. God loves us so much that he gave his only son, who left heaven, just so you and I could have life eternal. We learned some things Wednesday night that, we often say he came as a man, but he didn't. He came as a seed. And he was inside a woman for 9 months. He came as a seed and grew into the man. That's how we came, as a seed, to be the people that we are today.
Yes.
Our spirit, the Lord knew that our spirit was disconnected, our spirit was dead without him. And we are body, soul, and spirit. That's who we are, a triune being. And he wants us to experience the fullness of who he is in every category. He didn't just come to bring your spirit life. He didn't stop there. It's wonderful that he did, right? When you said, "I surrender," and you see the glories of his love and the glories of his great sacrifice, and you see yourself as you truly are, and then you welcome him into your life, and you give him your life. And he takes the miserable condition that we are and accepts that and gives you in return the awesome being of Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit. See, when you're born again, your spirit is alive. It was once dead, but now you're alive. That's what Ephesians says. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "You were dead in your transgressions and you were dead in your sins, in which you formerly walked according to the lust and the curse of this world." You're dead. But God, being rich in his mercy, and because of his great love, made you alive together in Christ. Then when you are born again, your spirit's alive. His spirit's in you. By the way, it's incorruptible.
Yes, it is.
It's of an incorruptible seed. Your spirit cannot be corrupted because he's there. If you're born again, you're alive. And you've already started your eternal living here. You'll just continue it on when you leave this body. His blood washes away your sins. It takes them all away. The cross actually did structure damage and death to the old nature. That's what the cross was about. Dying on the cross was death to the old nature. Your old nature died with him. When he died, you died. You begin to see that he made us alive with Christ Jesus, and we're by grace we've been saved. The Bible says we're also raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places. You just tell somebody, right now, I'm seated with him in heavenly places. Go ahead and tell them. You can go to Walmart today and just tell people, do you know I'm in heaven right now? I'm having me a seat right now in heaven. Did you know that? And they'll look at you and say, no, but I'm getting off of this aisle. See, he said, no, I've taken, God's telling you, I've taken care of your spirit. I've given you mine, and now you are alive eternally. The enemy hates it because he can't do anything about it. He can't do anything about your salvation. His resurrection gave you new life. I mean, you know, when he died, he didn't stay dead. Not like the rest of them. He rose again. But you know, that's not all that Jesus did for you at Calvary. That's plenty, but that's not all he did. We shortchange Calvary so many times. We shortchange the very thing of his death, burial, and resurrection because we only talk about the spirit and not about the soul. And we're so quick to say, it is well with my soul. And then when we start taking analysis of our mind, will, and emotions, we see that our mind's not in the right place. We see that our emotions are all over the place. And we see that our choices are not right with God. How can that be well with your soul? Easier to say, more difficult to live out. We need to have a positive confession of it's well with my soul, but we need to be able to live that out. Amen. 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 I mean, it's true. Amen. Nothing wrong with our positive confession. Nothing wrong with declaring it to be so. If the Spirit has given us the new birth, the new life by the present, him present and living, the very power of the resurrection is alive inside you, inside me. I'll tell you one thing, it's well with my spirit. It's incorruptible and unchangeable. But it might not be well with my soul because there's so many things sometimes that are connected to our soul that causes us to not be well. But Jesus says, I've taken care of that too. But most of us don't understand what he's done. The enemy loves to sabotage your griefs. He loves to sabotage the soul in your griefs, in your pain, in your sorrow, your wounds, all of the stuff that's in the soul, your mind, will, and emotions. He loves to sabotage your soul and keep you from a transformation that will cause you to live out what's in you. He wants to hinder you from living out in your soul, in your mind, will, and emotions, all your choices and all your feelings and all the things that you have in your soul that he said, I want you to be complete. That's the reason he said he wanted your soul to prosper. He wanted you to prosper. Watch this. He wanted you to prosper in 1 John. He said he wants you to prosper as your soul prospers. Uh-oh. Looks like there's a connection. Your prosperity is going to be in connection with how well is your soul prospering. Amen. I want you to prosper as your soul prospers. Right? Are y'all with me? You know, sometimes I do not like clocks. But he wants to sabotage, the enemy wants to sabotage your soul and keep you from transformation. Because that's how Paul said you're transformed. You may be born again, but maybe not transformed. You only get transformed when you have your mind, your soul, mind, will, and emotions, your soul beginning to be aligned with God. That brings transformation. That brings where you can live out no matter what happens. I love to talk about, you know, no matter what we go through, we're just going to be great. Great to say, difficult to live, not impossible. But it has to be in alignment with your soul, with what God is saying and what God is doing for your soul to be well. Are y'all hearing me? I'm not raining on anybody's parade. I'm giving you the truth. It's like you saying you're a Christian when you've never been born again. You can say it all you want, but it don't make it real. Isaiah said Jesus took care of all the wounds. And watch this. Isaiah 53 says, surely our griefs, what's that? That's in your soul. Our griefs he himself bore. Jesus came not just for your spirit. He came for your soul. He came for you to be a complete whole being. Our sorrows he carried. Where's my sorrows? It's in my soul. Our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Watch this in verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was pierced through. Do you know that word pierce also means, this is amazing. This is one of the reasons that there was agony in Jesus in the garden. This, just one of these things, there's agony. Why? He was about, watch this, he was about to become pierced. The word pierced means covenant breaker. He was about to become something that his father hated. He didn't sin. He became sin. Your sin, my sin, was placed upon him. Jesus was after not just your spirit. He's after your soul. He's after your completeness. When Eric says he wants all of it, he wants 100% of it. That's the truth. That's the truth if it's ever been spoken. And he's at work by the power of the Holy Spirit to lead your soul into places that you can actually say, and it be real, it's well with my soul. You know, it's well with my soul until my car breaks down. I remember when I was 18 years old. I had a 64 Chevelle Malibu, baby blue. It was, don't touch it. Baby, chrome reverse rims and red leather tires. I mean, it was just, got stuck in the mud. It's well with my soul. It's well with my soul. It gets so well, it's almost well done. I get out of that car, I slam that door, and I walk to that car and I kick that car. And naturally, after I kicked it, it just hopped out of that mud. No, I don't think that's the way it went. Right where I kicked it, it's had this chrome piece that said Chevelle. I kicked it and it broke. And it made a mark that was all the way over. It's well with my soul, yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Brenda's mother had a heart attack 2 days ago. And matter of fact, Brenda's not here today because she's bringing her mother home today. She had four stents put in, and she's doing well physically. I looked at her, and I said, Pauline, is it everything good? And she knew I wasn't talking about, are you ready to go meet with her? I wasn't talking about that. I said, is everything good? Do you feel okay? She looked at me, and she said, it's well with my soul. You know what? You know what? It was well with her soul. There were five, six, seven people just all around her doing this and doing that. Just well with my soul. You can tell when people mean it. Jesus wanted your soul to be so well that he said, I'll take your griefs. I'll take your sorrows. I'll carry them. I'll bear them. I'll be pierced through. I'll become a covenant breaker because we were covenant breakers. For your transgressions, he said, he was crushed. He was crushed for our iniquities. Crushed. Tell him I'm busy. I'm messing with you. He was chastened. He was chastened for our well-being, for our peace. The word chastening, you know, people think, well, that's the beating. No, the scourging is the beating. The chastening is the punishment. Chastening is a punishment for something done wrong. The correction that needed to be made. See, he was chastened for your peace. For your well-being. It's in your soul. He emphasized the soul a lot, but we sort of overlook it a lot because we live in a trapped soul because it's not being properly aligned. And then sometimes it's aligned with religion. And I got news for you. That's not well either. And he said, I've taken care not of just your spirit, but I've taken care of you operating in a soul that is whole. I've provided for you to do that. The thing is, we don't walk in that provision so many times because we're so misaligned with what he says. Well, you know, this thing is so real to us. It really is. It's so real to us that we're often taken back when the reality of revelation begins to come to us. We say, you know, I've really got to look at this. The scourging, the stripes, you were healed. Now, there's your body. The healing for your body. Took care of your spirit. He's taking care of your soul. Already taken care of it. We're not walking in it. And the reason we're not walking in it is because we don't see it. This thing about, you know, I look at this thing and this thing hit me about when we take communion. And the bread is there, and we say this is his body that was broken. You know, his body is broken, but no bones in his body were broken. Not the first bone was broken, because the bone and the no bones in the sacrificial lamb could be broken. None of them. They came to break his legs to cause him to die earlier, because the religious folk didn't want. We don't really want him hanging on the cross on the Sabbath. Just go ahead and end it real quick. So they broke the other two legs, got to him, he's already dead. No bones were broken. You just think about He is the Word, yes or no?
Yes.
Jesus is the Word. Jesus' bones were not broken. The Word will not be broken either. He'll break no promises that He's ever made for you.
Amen.
The Bible says that instead of breaking His legs, they pierced Him. What? You just have to look at the analogies of what the Scripture's talking about. And that instead of doing that, they just plunged the spear between the ribs. Didn't break any bone, just... And the Bible says, out came the fullness of blood and water. Now, I don't want to be gross, but what comes out at births? Blood and water. That's when the church was birthed. Out of the second Adam. You know what came out of the first Adam? Watch. His bride. You know what came out of the second Adam's side? His bride. Why? Blood and water. That was the birthing of the church. Out of his side came his bride. Me and you. I say amen too. Okay. One page out of nine. He says over in Isaiah chapter 1, only bruises and welts. He said, you've stricken, you're a mess, you're in rebellion, your whole head is sick, your whole heart is faint, and you're sick from the, you're messed up from the sole of your foot to the top of your head, and there is nothing sound in you. He said, there's only bruises, welts, raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged, not softened with oil. That's who we were. And do you know that we carry these wounds where our spirit can be, we are born again and we can still carry the wounds of the soul and not ever do nothing with them? And he says, I've made a way for you to be healed of that in your soul. See, you know your best evangelistic field? Your soul. You get your soul well with God. Anything you go through, it'll be well with your soul because you'll be everything, your thinking and your choices and your feelings. Have you ever felt something that just really wasn't God?
Yes.
It ain't well with your soul. Psalm 23. I want to have some ministry time. I really do. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's my friend, he's my guide, I lack nothing. He goes on and says, he makes me to lie down. Watch this, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. I mean, there's an emphasis in the soul that we really overlook so many times. He restores my soul. He restores my soul is a conclusive statement. In other words, it is the result of something else. This is the conclusion of what happened before. Something happened before that brought this conclusion to reality. So restoring your soul, how does he do that? He says, watch this. He says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know what that is? He gets you to the place that you can rest in what he said. This green pastures is the word. Why? Because it's where sheep eat. It's their food. It's the tender blades that he's leading them to so they can actually take in what he says and rest upon it.
Amen.
Resting on his word is the first step of him restoring your soul. Well, he restores my soul. He leads me beside the still waters. Watch this. He said he didn't lead me in the water. He leads me beside the still waters. Sheep don't like fast moving water. So he leads you beside. Do you know what the still waters is about? Excuse me. This is point two. His presence. Jesus said, you drink of me. Watch. What did he say? I'm the living water. You drink of him, you'll never thirst. And then he said, living waters would come out of our bellies. What's he saying? He said, it'll come out of your soul. Living waters will come out of your soul. It'll come out of who you are. Why? Because it is the restoration of souls, of our mind, our will, and our emotion, comes through us feeding on his word and resting on it. Being able to lay down. Terry Wilson named his bed the Word. So whenever I call him, he said, oh, I'm in the Word. Am I telling the truth? That's the truth, isn't it, Terry? See? But listen, he does study. He's a student of the Word. He really is. I'm not, but he didn't, you know, so don't go naming your bed the Word. So it's already taken. Knowing his word and resting upon it. Drinking in his presence will bring restoration to your soul. This word restoration, it says it will cause it to live again. It will cause you to have life in your emotions and life, not death. Life in your emotions. Life in your choices. Life, right? Life in your thoughts. That's the reason he wants your soul to be restored. Because Jesus did a whole lot of work in presenting himself as your sacrifice, as my sacrifice. And we have to be connected to what it is that he's done and say, look, wait just a minute. What is it about his word? What do I need to know about his word? And I can rest in, I can rest upon. That's him. People, you know, this 23rd Psalm, it talks about, you hear it a lot at funerals. I've done it at funerals. But when you read it, you begin to read it, and this is not one of those sweet little passages. How do I know that? Watch this. Oh, the Lord's my shepherd. He's my friend. I'm not going to lack anything. Well, what am I about to go through that I don't need to have lack? Well, he said, just understand, you're not going to lack anything. I've got it all covered. As a matter of fact, I'm going to restore your soul because I'm going to take you to the places in the Word that you can rest upon. Amen. And then I'm going to bring my presence that you can drink of. And your soul is going to be restored. Your soul is going to be brought to life. You're going to be able to live in your soul and not act like gloom, despair, and agony on me. Well, why is that so important? Because he's about to lead you somewhere. Why? He said he guides me into the path. Everybody say path. Where's the path? What do you do on a path? Walk. Y'all are good. He guides me into the path of righteousness. Path of righteousness. For whose name's sake? For his name's sake. Now, man, all that sounds good until. But he's getting us ready. It's almost like, man, I thought this was just, I like to just sit down and rest and just have me a good old time. And no, he says, no, verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Wait a minute. Paths of righteousness. Path is where you walk. Yea, though I walk. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I thought it's going to be, it is on the path of righteousness. In your path of righteousness, you're going to be faced with death. You're going to be faced with shadows. You're going to be faced with a lot of things. The question is, are you going to be afraid? Well, if you've got your soul restored, you will not be afraid. Because David said, my soul's restored now. Yeah, I'm going through a tough time, but my soul's restored. See, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to live it. David is living it. Well, what was wrong with David? Because in chapter 22, he was talking about my soul is in grief. He's going through pain. He's going through agony. Read it. Just read chapter 22 before it gets to 23 about how bad it is. And it's a prophecy sort of. And it's about David, but it's a prophecy about our Lord, about what he's going through, about how he was mistreated. David's talking about how he's being treated. And then he lights out in Psalm 23. Why? Because he knows he needs his soul restored. And God restores his soul by his word and his dependency upon his word and his presence. Neglect his presence, neglect his word, your soul will not be well. Why? Because he wants it to be restored. Are y'all with me? Very important. That's the reason you see people that's been a Christian for so long. Their spirit, they've been born again, but their soul is still in turmoil. Why? They're not in alignment. Their soul has not been restored. He is not, he's ready to do it. He's already made the payment. Thy rod and thy staff, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Knows about his presence. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What he's saying, he said, you protect me. And you care for me and you take care of me. That brings me comfort. If you don't believe God protecting you, you're not going to be comfortable in your soul. If you're going to worry and be anxious, you're not going to be comfortable in your soul. Why? Because your soul is anxious. What's God going to do? What's God going to do? He's going to do it. And he goes on and says, you prepare a table in front of me. Oh, I love the tables. Then he says, right in the presence of your enemies. I don't want that, God. I want it to be in the banquet hall like on golden streets. He said, that's coming. Right now, you got enemies surrounding you. You got them all around you. They're not going to go away. But I'm going to feed you right in the middle of it. And David recognized it. He said, yep, I got enemies. Yep, they're all around me. Yep, they're barking like dogs. Yep, they're doing this. Yep, they're saying that. Yep, they're attacking me. Yep, they're saying all kinds of things about me. Yep, they're mistreating me. They're doing all, and God, Jesus is saying, he said, supper time. Come on over here and eat with me. But what about them? Just come on, eat with me. Why? He said, I want you to focus on me. I want you to focus on what I've given you. I want you to focus on what I provided. Because in the presence of your very enemies, I'm going to prepare a banquet for you. Yes. Amen. See, we fight, and walk right past the very seat we're supposed to be seated. Yes. And we wonder, what in the world is that? What in the world is that ham? And what in the world is that big old steak? And what is that over there? Your invitation. What is all this food right in the middle that I'm going through hell and back? I heard a man say one time, he said, when you're going through hell, don't stop. When you're going through a difficult time, don't stop. Don't stop. Keep moving. Keep moving. But sit down and eat. Why? Why? Because he said, this is a warrior thing right here. He said, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you. I prepared a table for you. I've anointed your head with oil. That, you know why that's so important? Watch this. You know why that's so important? There used to be ticks that would get, still are there, ticks would get on sheep. And they would search and they would be looking. They'd get around their face and their eyes and their ears and their mouth and all of that kind of stuff. That's where they'd go. And they'd search for it, but when they found one, they never pulled it out. Watch this. Because pulling it out, they ran a large risk of leaving in what's already attached, and it would continue to give them a disease. So what'd they do? They just pour the oil. pour the oil. That'd cause the ticks to suffocate. They start sucking up oil instead of sucking, and they start backing out. Pour the oil on, Lord. See, that's part of his healing of your soul. Why is that? Because he don't want you to try to fix yourself. You start trying to fix yourself, you're going to leave something. And you're still going to come up with a disease. That's the reason he said, I want the oil of my presence, the oil of my anointing to be saturated in your soul, in your mind, in your will, and in your emotions, so no disease will come. I'm asking the Holy Spirit what to do, so. Do you have that video ready? Okay. Listen, your soul may be wounded. It may be hurt. It may be exhausted. It may be overwhelmed. There's so many things that our soul can be, and it's not restored. And Father loves you so much that he gave his son to be able to take care of not just your spirit, but your soul and your body. We need to enter into this in such a way that when people see us, they see the soul of who we are. They see the emotions that we have. They see the words that comes out, our thoughts. They see them when they come out, and they see the choices that we make. And he said, I want you to be whole. I want you to be restored. So I want you to take this in and start allowing the wounds that you carry, the hurts that you carry, the disappointments that you carry, the abuses that you carry, the things that have been your soul that you are not free from. Maybe some of it had been taken out, but there's something there that is still causing your soul to be diseased from it. Listen to this, watch this, and start the process of having your soul restored.
You are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and he is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is his love letter to you. Provider, and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you.
An unrestored soul will cause you to have a blurred vision of who he is. We need to know the truth. We need to be able to lay down with the word. We need to be able to rest upon what he says. And we need to be able to take in his presence, and don't be too quick to change things when his presence shows up. Out of the Passion Bible, the 23rd Psalm, in verse 4, it says this: Lord, even when your paths take me through the valley of my deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through in all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes me away, far away from fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are always here. Pastor Charlie, just come on up. I'd like for you to just play. We're going to let everybody go. But I do want to minister to the people. Number one, if you do not know him as your Lord and your Savior, this is your opportunity. This is your time to come in touch with who he really is. So if there's anyone here, is there anyone here today that you know the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and you have this need and you just really want to accept Christ today in your life? Is there anyone here? Okay. The second thing, go ahead and play. The second thing, if you need an extended time of ministry, you want to start this process not being in a hurry, but I want to start this process by hearing what I just heard, his word, and I want to spend a little bit of time in his presence and let him deal with the abuses. Let him take away the pain. Let him take away the woundedness. Let him take away the sorrow. Let him take away the very thing that has you shackled in your mind, your will, and your emotions. See, it's not just a one-time thing. It's whenever we get to the place that our soul is troubled, that's when we need to make sure that we start getting restored, because we can veer off very easily. Some of you have been through some of the most horrifying things in abuses. Today's your day to start with his word and his presence and let him begin to pour the oil, that the things that are tormenting will begin to separate from you as only he can do. Some of you struggled in your soul to be able to go on with God. You feel trapped. You feel lost. You feel like you can't, for some reason you just can't find the other side of freedom. You're free in your spirit. You know you're born again. You know you're going to heaven. But there's something going on in your soul that you need to take to him and let the process begin. So if that is you, I'd like for everybody to stand now, if you don't mind. And you want to just have an extended time of your soul restoration. He restores your soul. I want you to just come up to the altar. Just come from where you are now. Just come on up, and you can have this extended restoration. We're going to let other people go home, but we're going to be able to say, no, I'm not going to rush this time. My soul needs this. And I'm going to enter into his presence, and I'm going to drink of his presence at this moment. And I'm going to take it in, because these thoughts that I'm having are not his. These feelings that I'm having are not his. These choices that I'm making are not his. And I want the restoration to start today. And I'm willing to do that right now. So come on, quickly, just real quick, come on. You may feel fractured. You may feel distracted. You may feel all of these things that's coming out of our soul that you want to bring to God today and say, here I am. I'm ready for your work. Pour the oil in. Put the word in and let me be saturated with your word. Let me be saturated with your presence. I'm here. I'm not in a hurry. I'm here. I'm yours. And you are mine. You may pray. The rest of you, you may pray. You can stay and linger in his presence if you so desire. But at the same time, I want to release those that have to go. You need to go. You have to go. And we all understand that. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we ask your blessings upon this congregation. And we ask you, Father, that their walk with you would be so powerful, that their light would be so strong to lead others to who you are. So you're dismissed. I'm just asking you to go quietly. And try not to disturb, try not to be too loud. But to those of you that want to stand where you are and want to linger in his presence, feel free to do so. Feel free to do so. If you would like to come up and just stand beside one of these people and just stand with them and just pray for them, I want you to be able to have the freedom to do that. But God bless you, church. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. In Jesus' name. You're at liberty to go if you need to go. Randy, am I still on? I'm going to read some verses as you just stand in his presence. The law of the Lord is perfect, without blemish, and it restores my soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, and it makes me wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, and it causes my heart to rejoice. The commandment of the Lord is pure, and it enlightens my eyes. The word that God speaks is alive and active. It cuts like a two-edged sword. It strikes through the place of where my soul and my spirit meet. And it brings intimacies to me in my soul. The Lord says, incline your ear. Come unto me, listen to me, and your soul shall live, your soul shall rejoice. My soul weeps because of grief, so strengthen me, Lord, according to your word. I wait for you, Lord. My soul does wait. For your word, I do hope in. You said that my obedience to your truth will purify my soul, will bring purity to my mind, my will, and my emotions. You truly want me to prosper in all aspects of my life as my soul prospers. You've described my soul prospering of walking in your truth, having a great joy because I hear your voice and I hearken to your voice and I walk in your word. This brings restoration to my mind, my will, and my emotions. Your word says that you heal the brokenhearted and you bind up our very wounds. Here is my broken pieces, the broken pieces of my soul, brought to you like a puzzle. I can't put it back together. But I bring it to you, led at your feet, for you to restore me according to your will, according to your love, according to your mercy. You also said, Lord, that you would be near those that are brokenhearted. My heart has been broken over things that have been done in the past. I want to walk clean and free from those today. Today is a new beginning for me. Today is a new start. because you have provided for me to be restored in my soul. I have become aware of it today, and I acknowledge that your provision is already given. My broken heart is grieved. I forgive those who have hurt me. I forgive him who took advantage of me. I forgive her. Lay it not to their charge. As you have forgiven me, Father, I forgive them. I turn loose of my bitterness. I turn loose of my shame. I turn loose of my isolation. I turn loose of my being overwhelmed. I turn loose of this thing of struggling with relationships. I turn loose of the despair that has set into my soul. I give it to you. My depression, I yield to you. I give it to you. You carried it for me. You bore it. My anxiety, I lay at your feet. My fear of being hurt again, I give to you. The thoughts of my torture, the thoughts of my abuse, I give to you. I want your thoughts. The thoughts of those times that I was mistreated, I give them to you. I want my soul, I want my mind, I want my will, and I want my emotions to be whole. I want to walk in the very provision that you've given. My anger, I yield. I surrender. My revenge, I give to you. My exhaustion of trying to make it on my own, I now yield to you. Lord, I've been exhausted trying to clear my soul. But now here you are doing it for me. Fully, wholly, and purely. My guilt, I surrender. I am no longer guilty. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't my own doings. I surrender. I feel defeated. I give it to you. I am a warrior. I am a true champion of the Lord. You have created me to be that. I now receive that from you. All the shame, paralyzed, not moving forward, I now leave it behind me. I reach for you and I find you. I search for you and I find you. I grab for you and you're there. You've never left me. You've never forsaken me. You've always been with me. The devastation that I've gone through, I lay it down. The pain, the betrayal, I give it to you. All the times I've been preoccupied when you've only asked me to come near. All the times that I've been distracted when you've been asking me to come forward. To drink of your presence, without judgment. The unworthiness that I felt, I now lay at your feet, and I see now that you have made me worthy of receiving your goodness. You've made me worthy to be able to walk with you, to know your presence, to know your word, to be able to love others. Restore me now in such a way that your love will come out of me in a way that even those that mistreat me, even in the future, I will be able to love them purely. Undistracted by a soul that is distracted. The abandonment, the rejection, that's been so painful. I now surrender to you. I now lay it down. I give you permission, Lord, to search through my soul and to heal all the wounds. To pour your oil right now in my soul. I drink in your presence at this very moment. I receive your kiss. I receive your love. I receive your wholeness. The verbal abuse that I took, I give to you, and I forgive. The physical abuse that I received, I give to you, and I forgive. The mental abuse that I received, I give to you, and I forgive. The sexual abuse that I received, I give to you, and I forgive. I now confess to you that I am not lost. You have found me. You have opened the doors for me to enter in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The hopelessness that I once had, I now say I have full hope in my God. I am the head and not the tail. You are my beginning. You are my ending. I just drink of your presence. I rest in your word. My soul rejoices now. I am free. I am free. I am free. I am free indeed. Thank you. He's beautiful. He's made you beautiful. It is well. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. I'll sing it. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.